We're going to look in the scriptures this morning and just look at some scripture itself. We're not, there's nothing else here really. We're just going to be talking about healing. And there's a lot of people that don't believe in God healing, or sometimes people believe that God does heal, but just when he's in a good mood, or you know, or if you hit the right keys, or if you, you know, get everything, all your ducks in a row, God will heal you. But we're going to look at this morning just four or five verses in Scripture, and these are very familiar. And we're going to start out in Genesis, then we're going to look at Isaiah, then we're going to go over to Matthew and 1 Peter and back to Acts. Okay, that's five. So what we're going to do, I'm going to go to Genesis just to kick off, then we go into Isaiah and spend a bit of time there, and we'll look at it, some verses there in Isaiah 53. We're going to look at it from different versions of Scripture just so we get a better picture of what's going on. I got some of the words here that we're going to dig into just for a few minutes and see what they say in the Hebrew. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, as you know, not in English. And so we look at the Hebrew words and what they mean in the English, how to translate it. And then we'll go over to the New Testament and tie it all together. So anyhow, let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into it this morning. Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord, that we're serving a God that loves us, a God is concerned for us. Father, a God that tells us to cast all of our cares upon you. And Father, so many times we come together, Lord, like this, and we have cares. We have problems and burdens and struggles that we go through in everyday life. Father, help us to realize the importance of realizing, Lord, that you are our healer, you're our deliverer. And Father, we can cast our cares upon you, as your word says. Now, Father, direct us today and receive the glory to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Now, this took place when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, came across the Red Sea. And as they came across the Red Sea, they came to a place called Marah. And the waters were bitter there, the Bible says. And God told Moses to cut down a tree and throw it into the water. And the Bible says that the waters became sweet. Now, there's a lot of parallels that we could take and go from there. Healing is always in the tree. The Bible talks about healing, is the healing for the nations in the leaves of the tree, in the New Jerusalem. Jesus hung on a cross. The Bible tells us, and there's a number of things we could look at there. Moses put up a serpent upon a post, upon a tree, and said, "Look at that," and he said, "You'll be healed." So all through the Scripture, you see healing tied into a tree. But anyway, here in this passage here, God was speaking to the children of Israel, and this is what he said. The Lord said, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes," he said, "I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now notice the last part there, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now this is the first time in Scripture that God revealed himself as a healer. This is the second time the word heal, that word is translated heal right there. This is the second time in Scripture that is ever mentioned. It's mentioned back in Genesis chapter 20 when Abraham, the Bible says, prayed for Abimelech and Abimelech was healed. That's the first time it was mentioned. And this is the second time, and God reveals himself as a healer. A lot of people say, "Well, I wonder, does God really heal?" I mean, even back in Old Testament times, God declared himself to be a healer. Now we're going to look at some scriptures. Isaiah 53, and I know this might be a bit small print up here, but I want to try to get it all together so we can see what we're going on there. And if not, look in your own Bible anyway. That's what you should be doing regardless. And because it's so easy sometimes just to look at the picture up here, but it's a lot better when you get it in the Word yourself and can underline it, mark it, put notes by it, and different things. And as I've said so many times before, don't be afraid to mark in your Bible, okay? We used to have pastors say to us, "A clean Bible is a sign of a weak Christian." You know, if you don't mark in your Bible, don't, you know, it means you're not getting anything out of it. And God gave us this word. I mean, if God gave it to us, I mean, he's the creator of the universe. He's the one that created us. This is the owner's manual. So we need to read it and understand it and be aware of it. So anyway, here in Isaiah 53, now this was 700 years before Jesus came on the earth. Okay, now the Bible says here, talking about Jesus, Isaiah was prophesying about something that Jesus would do for us. And in Isaiah 53, beginning of verse 3, he says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, all down through that passage, he's talking about Jesus doing something for us. And you notice the times our and we and us are mentioned in that. He did all these things for us. Our sins, our iniquities, our trespasses, our peace. Everything was for us. Jesus did all this for us. Now, this is what this passage is talking about. Now, we're going to look at the same passage again. Now, you can't see all the little numbers, but you can see the colors here, the green. And this is taken from a Bible that's got Strong's numbers. Now, if you understand anything about Strong's numbers, Strong was a Greek and Hebrew expert, and he took every word in the Bible and put a number by it and put the English translation there so that we could understand it. So these are some of the words. So we're going to look at some of the words in this passage and bring them up a bit bigger so you can see them, obviously. But we're going to look at some of these words, and there's seven of them we're going to look at. First of all, we're going to look at the word sorrow. What does the word sorrow mean? Okay, and then we're going to look at another one called grief. And then we're going to go down again, because if you read this, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, notice that again, and he's carried our sorrows. The two things that he mentioned up in the other verse, he said Jesus bore those for us. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So these words that are highlighted, we're going to look at one at a time and go through them quickly if we can. First of all, sorrows. The word that's translated sorrows, you can see the Hebrew number there, 4341. And when you say an H in front of it is Hebrew, if it's a G in front of it would be Greek. But here's a Hebrew word, and I'm not a Hebrew or Greek person, so I can't say it any better than you can, but it looks like his pronunciation would be macabre. Macabre. And it means to be in anguish, to be in affliction, grief, pain, or sorrow. So we could say, because it says he's a man of sorrows and he carried our sorrows, we could say that Jesus is a man of grief. Jesus is a man of affliction. Jesus is a man of pain, that's acquainted with pain, that understands pain, and he carried our pain. This is what, when you look at these words, you can put any of these words in there, but the translators into the English chose to use the word sorrow. He carried our sorrows. And then the next word that we had underlined there was grief. And the word grief is koli. And you see that number there is 2483 in the Hebrew. And so here, this word means malady, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, or sickness. So we're saying that Jesus was acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with anxiety. He was acquainted with calamity. You see, remember the Bible says the night when Jesus was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all know the story, the Passion Week. The Bible says all of his disciples left him. He knows what it's like to be left alone. He knows what it's like to be people turn away from him, and just forsake him. And Jesus went through all these things for us. But the Bible says here, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, and sickness. All these words are taken up in that one word there, koli. So we could say that Jesus was acquainted with sickness. Jesus was acquainted with calamity. Jesus was acquainted with disease. And here in the English, in the King James says he was acquainted with grief. That's the word they use there out of that entire package of words. They take the word grief and put it in there. And he has borne our grief. He's borne our sickness. He's borne our disease. He's borne our anxiety and malady and all these different things. Jesus bore all these things for us. Now let's move on to the next word. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. Now the word transgressions means breaking the law. We could say crimes. We talked about this a while ago when we were going through the law and grace and different things. And the word transgression means that you broke a law of some kind. So every time you broke God's law, Jesus took the punishment for it. You understand that? This is what he's saying. And we all, there's none of us here that's good enough and say, well, I've never broken God's law. We've all broken God's laws. But Jesus took the punishment for it. You understand that? He was wounded for our transgression. Now, the word wounded there is kalah or kalal. And again, I don't know if that's the exact pronunciation, but it makes no difference to us right now. But the word means to bore, not get bored with something, but to bore something, like drive a hole into something. Okay? So Jesus, he was wounded. In other words, he was bored. You know, there was holes put in his body. And he was wounded for our transgressions. To bore, to wound, to dissolve, to profane a person or a place or a thing, to break, as breaking one's word. This word is translated in different places of Scripture. To begin, now notice this here, as if by an opening wedge. I was looking at something in the commentary just to see exactly what all these things are saying. And they were saying that the word that's used there, and this is the illustration they used. We've all split wood or seen somebody splitting wood with an axe. And sometimes you get these big junks that you can't, well, today you get all kinds of machines that you can split things with. But, you know, one time you would drive wedges into the crack that you made with the axe. You drive a wedge in there until eventually you broke, you know, the wood, you broke the block. So this is what this word is meaning. The same word that's used for that is used in the way that they beat Jesus in his body. It was his body was just beaten to pieces, in other words. And matter of fact, it goes on to explain that somewhere along the line here. So it means to defile, to break, to treat something as common, we could say there, to pollute something, to profane something, to prostitute something, to slay something, to soil, stain, and wound. So this word wounded, we could say that Jesus was polluted for us. Jesus was prostituted for us. Jesus was slain for us. Jesus was wounded, as the King James is saying, he was wounded for our transgressions. That's what the word wound means. Now let's move on. The word bruised. Okay, he was wounded and he was also bruised. And the word bruised, if you, it's 1792, the Hebrew word in Strong's is dakah. And it's a primitive root word that means to crumble. Okay, so we can say that Jesus was crumbled for us. He was beaten so much. This word could be translated. He was beaten to pieces. It means to break into pieces, to contrite, to crush, to destroy, to humble, to oppress, and to smite. So we can say that Jesus went through all these things for us. Jesus was destroyed in his body for us. Jesus was oppressed in his body for us. Jesus was smitten in his body for us. And this is what this word bruise means. Now, so he says he was bruised for our iniquities. Now, the word iniquities is different from the word transgression. Transgression is when you break a law. Iniquity, it means the evil that's within you, the bent to do something wrong all the time, the desire to always do something that's not right. That's iniquity in God's word. So Jesus, you know, there's times, and we all, you know, we all have that within us at times. And Jesus already bore that for us. He was bruised because of my evil thoughts and my evil ways and your evil thoughts and your evil ways. Jesus bore the punishment for that. Now let's move on. The chastisement of our peace, the Bible says, was upon him. That word chastisement means reproof or warning or instruction, restraint, bond, or to bind something. Chastening, it means to check, to correct, to discipline. It's also used in doctrine, like you're instructing somebody, instructions, and rebuke. So we could say, Jesus took the rebuke so that I could have peace. Jesus took the punishment so that I could have peace. So this is what he's saying. All these different things Jesus bore on our behalf. Let's move on to the next one. By his stripes. Now, how many of you have seen the movie, The Passion, Passion of Christ? By his stripes, the Bible says. And this word stripe, and again, I don't know, is kabura. And it's 2250 in the Hebrew word there in the Strong's Concordance, and it means to bound, means properly bound with stripes, that is a wheel or a black and blue mark itself. Blueness, to bruise, to hurt, to stripe, and to wound. These are all words that you could use in that Jesus bore the stripes. Jesus bore the black and blue marks, we could say, for us. Jesus did all this for us. He said, by his stripes we are healed. And that last word there, healed, and that, I've gone too far. That last word, healed, can we go back to that one there, Stephanie? That last word, healed, is from 7495 in the Strong's Concordance, and is Rapha. Remember Jehovah Rapha. Okay, Rapha. And it means to mend by stitching something together. We got a doctor here with us today, and I'm sure to stitch stuff together before. And this is what Jesus did for us. It means, that word Rapha means that he brought it all back together. He brought healing to our bodies, and he mends us, and it's also translated to cure. So we could say, by his stripes we are mended, by his stripes we are cured, by his stripes we are healed, by his stripes he becomes our physician, or we are physicianed. That's what, if you read it the way it's there, we are physicianed through him. In other words, he's the one that's doctored us. He's the one that looked after us. So by his stripes we are healed, by his stripes we are repaired, by his stripes we are made thorough, made whole, and by his stripes, as the King James says, we are healed. Okay, so all these different words in there. So if you put all these words together and try to put that into, you know, those verses, you would need a page, you know, this long to try to get all these different meanings in there. So the interpreters took the word that they felt best described what happened at that place. But I'm going to just show us, I think it was four or five different translations. I'm going to read into through those same three verses again in four or five different translations, just to get you the different slants on the meanings that the writers put in there, the translators put in there. This is from the Jerusalem Publication Society Bible. Okay? Now this is the Jewish one. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of pains, and acquainted with disease. I mean, let me explain something first. The Jewish people don't understand that this chapter is talking about Jesus. Okay, the Jews, still to this day, some of them say, well, it's talking about the nation of Israel itself, but they can't understand all the, they can't, you know, parallel everything in that chapter to the nation of Israel. And they go through different things, but they will not acknowledge that this was Jesus. Matter of fact, and I've mentioned this one time before, remember, how many has ever heard of a book called The Bible Codes? It came out a few years ago, probably about 10, 12 years ago. It came out, and it was a Jewish guy actually that discovered this. He took all the letters of the Bible and stretched them out, however many letters there are. We did figure it out one time. All these letters, and stretched them out in the Bible. You know, no spaces, just every word right on. From Genesis, for God, in the beginning God created, right on down to Amen in the book of Revelation. Took every word and just made one long word on a computer. And if you take, there's different ways you could do it. If you took every 10th letter in the original languages, okay, that would spell out different words. If you take every 20th letter, it would spell out. If you took every 50th or every 500th letter, every 1,000th letter or whatever, it would spell out different words and different things. And a lot of things they did. I forget what it was now. But anyway, they look back into history, and they took. I think it was 20 people from history. They took, and they typed their names into this program that they had on the computer, and it would give them, you know, so many letters apart and things like this. It would give them a pattern. This person was mentioned. You're mentioned in there. This person was mentioned the day he was born, the day he died, where he lived, his wife's name, his children's name. Everything was all listed in all these different people right on down through. So over 20 people, they did it in history just to, you know, and they found out. Remember when Menachem Begin got killed there a few years ago, the Prime Minister of Israel? At this time, they were just discovering this, and one of the fellows that discovered it found, he just typed in Menachem Begin. And when he did, he found, you know, whatever pattern was used, he found that he was going to be shot by a person from his own country on such and such a day in such and such a city and everything else, and he checked the news and found out that it was only a day or two ahead that he was going to be speaking in this particular place, and he flew to Israel and tried to stop him from going there. He said, listen, and he showed him the Bible quotes. Menachem Begin said, he said, I'm not a superstitious person. He said, I don't believe in that. And I think it was 2-3 days after that he was shot. The very same thing that the Bible code said would happen to him. Now, the reason I'm giving you all that background there, you take this chapter here and run it through, and over and over and over, he said, in the Bible codes itself, in the background of this chapter here, whichever way they work the pattern, it says, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. All down through this chapter right here. And the Hebrew people still won't believe it. The Jewish people still won't believe that this is talking about their Messiah. Anyway, but this is what the Jewish publication says. Jewish Publication Society Bible. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease, and as one from whom men hide their face. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely our diseases he did bear, and our pains he carried, whereas we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, we thought God was doing it to him for something that he did, but it wasn't for what he did at all. He took the punishment that we deserved. He took it because of what we did. This is the point of what he's saying there. So he says, surely our diseases he did bear, our pains he carried, whereas we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded because of our transgressions. He was crushed because of our iniquities, and the chastisement of our welfare was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Now this is what the Jewish translations is about. Now let's look at the literal translation of the Holy Bible. He is despised and abandoned of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness, and as it were hiding our faces from him, he being despised, and we did not value him. How many people today are not valuing what Jesus did? How many times we go into a church and the pastor gets up to preach, or you're listening to, you know, and the pastor, you say, listen, I read something else. I can't listen to that. We don't value who Jesus is and what he's done for us. He says, surely he has borne our sicknesses. He's carried our pain. Yet we esteemed him plagued, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his wounds, we ourselves are healed. With his wounds, we are healed. I mean, it's amazing. You know, you ever notice God does stuff backwards? I preached a message one time, God does everything backwards. You want to heal somebody? Somebody gets wounded. You want to get blessings from God? Give more. It's just all backwards. You know? Now, notice, let's move on. This is from Young's literal translation. Now, Young is the same thing as Strong's guy. They take every word of the Bible and explain out. There's a Young's analytical concordance that you can go into and all these different things. But anyway, this is what he says. This is what his literal translation says. He is despised and left of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness. And as one hiding face from us, he is despised and we esteem him not. Surely our sicknesses he has borne and our pains he has carried. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his bruise there is healing to us. Okay, let's move on to another one, the Amplified Bible. Now, the Amplified just means exactly what it says. It's amplified. Okay, if I turn this microphone off, you can't hear me. When I turn it on, it's amplified. You get a clearer understanding. Still got the doofy accent, but you still hopefully understand something I'm saying. But notice what he's saying here. The Amplified Bible takes, you know, something that's there. And this is why when you read an amplified version, sometimes you read a verse in King James is just 3 lines. In the Amplified, sometimes it's 5 or 6 lines, because it takes that word and breaks it down into different meanings. But this is what the Amplified Bible says. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. That is verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and distresses. He's carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. This is what this translation is saying. Now, that's back there in Isaiah. Let's move over now in Matthew. The Bible tells us that Jesus was going about healing people. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Jesus went and laid hands on her. She was healed. And then the Bible says that when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Now, some people say, well, you know, back there when Isaiah was saying, by his stripes we're healed, he's talking about spiritual healing. But that's not what this passage is saying. Matter of fact, I was looking at an article written by a professor from a Bible college, actually, on Isaiah 53. And he didn't believe in healing. He didn't believe that that was for today. He believed that it was over when Jesus finished his ministry and the apostles finished their ministry. There's no more healing after that. And he took Isaiah 53 and he tried to prove from there that this was just talking about spiritual healing. And he never even mentioned this passage right here. I went down through the entire thing. I read it twice to find out for sure. I said, somewhere along the line, he's going to mention that, because Matthew said this is what Isaiah talked about. And he never even quoted this passage here. Never even looked at it in the article. Notice what he says here. When the evening was come, they brought to Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew says right here, when Jesus healed people physically, he was fulfilling what Isaiah prophesied he would do. Heal people physically. You understand that? He said this is what Isaiah talked about. I mean, I'd rather listen to what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit interprets it in the New Testament, than what some professor would say to us. By his stripes we're healed. He said he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Let's move over here. 1 Peter 2:24, you all know this verse. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And then in the last part there he says, by whose stripes you were healed. We're healed by his stripes. Mark 9:35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now notice this, teaching in their synagogues. Here's a threefold ministry of Jesus. You see it here in this passage. He's teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Some people say, well, you know, I know God can heal some small things. I know God can heal some, you know, cancer, sometimes some big things like that. But, you know, maybe you got a problem that's, you know, out of the ordinary. Maybe it's a problem that, you know, doctor says there's absolutely no cure for. And in the natural, there is no cure for. But the Bible says here that Jesus healed every sickness and every disease among the people. So that means that no matter what sickness is, no matter what the disease is, there's healing in what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Okay, every sickness and every disease. Now, that was there in Matthew chapter 9. Back in Matthew chapter 4, the same book but in a different chapter, Matthew mentions the same thing again. The threefold ministry of Jesus. He said Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It's twice Matthew says this. You know, so he's saying this ministry of Jesus, Jesus went around preaching, teaching, and healing everywhere he went. And I believe that the church still should be involved with the very same thing this day and age. Teaching, preaching, and healing. That's part of the ministry, preaching the gospel. If you preach the gospel, you're going to be preaching about healing. That's all part of it. See, Jesus, when Jesus hung on the cross, not only he paid for our sins, he paid for the physical healings in our bodies. Now, just going to finish up here. I think it is. And when Peter saw it, and this is when Peter and John, remember in Acts chapter 3, there they went up to the temple and there was a man there who was lame from birth, the Bible says. He was lame in his feet. and sitting at the gate, beautiful, and he is asking for alms. You get people asking for alms all the time. And he was asking for alms, and Matthew went up to him, and he said, Peter went up to him, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he jumped up and he leapt. The Bible says he went into the temple, he was shouting and praising God and everything else, and made the religious people mad. He was interrupting their service. It's true. You read it there. And the Bible says everybody came after Peter and them and see, trying to figure out what happened. Now notice what Peter says here. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people," because they were saying, "How did this happen?" "And Peter answered unto the people," he said, "Why marvel ye at this?" Why are you so, you know, amazed by this? Jesus has been going around for the last 3 years healing people here. Why are you so amazed at this? And notice this last part right here. He said, "Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we've made this man to walk?" Now let me just stop there and say something to you. A lot of times we talk ourselves into, and I think the devil's working on it, obviously, but we talk ourselves into, "I'm not worthy to be healed. I don't deserve anything from God." You ever hear people talk like that? You know, a lot of times people say, "I'm not worthy. You know, I've made too many mistakes in life. I've messed up too many times. I've done this wrong. I've done something else wrong. I'm just not, you know, what I should be. And therefore, God won't heal me." I remember years ago, we had a friend of ours that died first couple of years we were here. And a friend of ours died with cancer. And I remember the teaching that was going around that day, and I said the same thing to him. You know, I said, "You know, well, maybe there's something." I said, "You know, you've got to let go in your life first before God heal you." And I, you know, and that was a teaching that was going around the time. And you know, and sometimes we say, "Well, you know, it's no good for you to pray for me because you did something wrong last week. You said something wrong, or you haven't been." You know, Peter said, "Why do you look at us as if by our holiness we did this?" That gives me hope that it's not because of I'm so good or you're so good that we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's because of what Jesus has done. Okay, and faith, this is what Peter said. Peter said, "Why do you look at us as though by our own holiness or our own power we did this?" It's not your holiness, it's not your power. It's his holiness and his power. Peter goes on, he says, "The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus." Then in verse 15 he says, "Whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, he said, "The faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." The word of God says, and we started back there in Exodus chapter 15, 26, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee."